Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Since its first episode aired earlier last year, the podcast Song Exploder has been at the top of podcast review lists. It's the type of show that anyone remotely interested in music production could fall in love with. Today, we'll listen to a recent episode of the show, but first, I got the chance earlier this week to talk with creator and host of Song Exploder, Hrishikesh Hirway, and I'd like to share some of that conversation with you. Hi, Hrishikesh. Thanks for joining us on The Spot today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about Song Exploder.
Song Exploder is a podcast where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. So a musician will come onto the show with the different tracks and stems of their recording, which means the individual layers and pieces and instruments. And they'll play an isolated part, like just the guitars or just the vocals or just the drums, and let you hear just that part by itself. It's a way of hearing a song that normally listeners don't get. And in addition to hearing the isolated layers, they talk a little bit about the process of writing or recording or producing those elements and how the whole thing came together.
A few months ago, Song Exploder featured the band The National and their track Sea of Love. I thought that'd be a great episode to share here on The Spot. But before I do, can you tell me a bit about what it was like to produce that episode?
I interviewed Matt Berninger, who's the singer of The National, and Aaron Dessner, who's the guitarist of The National, together for the interview. But Matt lives here in LA and Aaron lives in New York. So I went to Matt Berninger's house with a recorder and the stems from the song, which I'd gotten from them earlier. And then we called up Aaron in New York and asked him to record his side of the conversation while we had him on speakerphone. And so I would ask them different questions. I had listened to the song, I'd listened to the stems. And so there were certain moments and things that I wanted to ask specifics about, but I also just sort of let them run wild a little bit and ask, just say, how did the song get started? What was, you know, what's the chronology of its creation? But then specifically, you know, what is this organ sound? What created it? Things like that. And I talked to them for maybe an hour and a half. They were great and very forthcoming and easy to talk to and really nice guys.
Awesome. Let's take a listen to that episode now.
You're listening to Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. The National formed in 1999. They've released 6 albums and have been nominated for a Grammy. Their music has been everywhere from Game of Thrones to Bob's Burgers to Barack Obama's presidential campaign. In 2013, they released their 6th album, Trouble Will Find Me, which debuted at number 3 on the Billboard charts. The band is made up of singer Matt Berninger, along with 2 sets of brothers, guitarists Bryce and Aaron Dessner, who are twins, and Brian and Scott Devendorf, who play drums and bass, respectively. In this episode, Matt Berninger and Aaron Dessner break down Sea of Love, a song that they co-wrote. You'll hear how it went from Aaron's original guitar demo to a densely layered recording with contributions from their bandmates and others. And they'll talk about how collaboration is an intrinsic part of their process and band identity. Now, here's The National on Song Exploder.
Hey Joe, sorry.
My name's Aaron Dessner, and I play guitar and piano and other instruments and write a lot of the music.
And I am Matt, and I don't write any of the music. I write the lyrics and the vocal melodies and that kind of stuff.
This song just started with a demo that was kind of like a rough, loud guitar. It kind of sounds like Nirvana playing Crazy Horse or something. I'm sketching a song, humming along to it, but mainly with Matt in mind, and then I kind of leave it open-ended so that he has room to carve.
Aaron and his brother Bryce will send me, in the process of making a record, 50 or 60 little bits of ideas, and some of them are developed and they have lots of different parts. Some of them are just really simple and rudimentary, and I just work on the ones that I connect with in some way, and I will just sing along to it and try all kinds of different approaches. And usually it's with melody. I just look for melody and I'm singing nonsense. The words start to come after I've figured out a melody mostly. And if it's a good melody, words will just land on it and stick there. Oh, you say you love me, Joe. How am I supposed to know? It wasn't like I had a story about a character named Joe and all this kind of stuff that I wanted to tell. It was mumbling melodies without any discernible words probably for a while, until something stuck to it. Hey Joe, sorry I hurt you, but they say love is a virtue, don't they? Lyric-wise, I was listening to other things, and I was listening to Hendrix. Hey Joe, sorry I hurt you was like, I've been listening to Hey Joe.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun of yours?
That's kind of a quote, I guess. And I think at the time, the idea was to, well, that's just for placement. I will figure out what that lyric is later, because I'm not just going to say, hey, Joe. But then that just stuck. I think there probably was a time when I was like, okay, I got to put a woman's name in there. And I just quickly discarded that temptation to just change it to a woman's name because I'm a man. It didn't matter at all. And I just never could let go of hey, Joe. So,
oh, Joe, you fell so fast.
I'm not trying to make any sort of statement about human sexuality. It's just, there's a song about a romantic song about a man who's bitten into the apple a little bit. It's a big murky mess of all the feelings that happen between human beings. One, romance and hopes and all those kind of things. They run away with our hearts a little bit. So whenever I sing it, I am thinking about a guy.
I see people on the floor. The slide into the sea.
And then the song just started to become this loose idea of how people often will fall in love and jump into a situation. The Joe is definitely the one who's like jumping in with both feet. There's a room full of people that are all sliding into the sea of love.
I see you rushing down. What did Harvard teach you?
What did Harvard teach you? It's just like, you seem like to be such a smart person, then why are you doing such a foolhardy thing? Of the 60 sketches, this one popped out to me just because it had this immediate, aggressive, and it had a different sort of color than a lot of our songs, and I was excited by it. I think at the phase in the writing of the record, we had a lot of songs that were manicured or something, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but we felt that the record needed something a little uglier. I think I just wanted it to be almost Neanderthal, and it's when it comes out of the gate, that's why I was just like pound eighth notes, you know, on the snare.
Matt kind of likes to air drum and has good ideas, but Brian, being a great drummer and opinionated drummer, often doesn't embrace those ideas, but this time he kind of like did. So that snare, Brian was excited by, and he also likes simplicity if it ever really works, and in this case it did. So
it was a rare case that I had a drum idea that Brian liked.
It kind of came to life with the drum part, and that's, I think, when you realize that Brian is gonna run with something, then we all kind of focus in a little bit and find the song. Because it's not, we often have situations where we'll write a song and the kind of band element doesn't click.
Whenever I have a musical idea that those guys like, I think everyone's surprised.
Well, that's not true, because you actually, Matt's a visual artist and is good about describing musical ideas in non-musical terms sometimes, and that will lead to interesting places. And
I have a lot of opinions on the music, but yeah, I don't have any musical vocabulary.
Bryce and I went to Berlin because we do a lot of recording, you know, whether it's in my studio or in a fancy professional studio, and then we undo it or like redo it somewhere that's not at all a studio. I think because we are missing some kind of like charm or element of unpredictability, or just the feeling of needing to make it less claustrophobic or something. Because I like records that have been recorded in different places. So I know for a fact that we re-recorded all the guitars on this song in Berlin in this hotel. the owners of that hotel, who are big fans of the National and really close friends of ours and have been really supportive, they created a studio for us in there in the hotel. It was like a cement box, kind of. The room was an old pre-war building and the walls were unfinished walls, and it was a cement floor, and the sound was bouncing around in there a lot, but it just sounded cool. There's a whole weave of things in there that create the moving parts and kind of like deceptive complexity to a simple chord progression. I mean, my brother plays guitar, and we did these kind of twin strikes. There's a strike of each chord on the downbeat and then one on the offbeat, and they kind of answer each other. And that's definitely an old trick of ours, because we play off each other a lot like that. On Sea of Love, you hear the contribution of Richard Reed Perry from Arcade Fire, who did the sort of elaborate vocal harmonies in the chorus.
Hey Joe, sorry I hurt you, but they say love is a virtue, don't they?
We've always been an open, collaborative group of people, and like my brother and I, being twins, grew up playing music always together, never alone, and so it's quite natural to collaborate with other people and embrace someone else's idea. And also, one thing may be the key to unlocking a riddle or just giving something an extra lift or making something work. And I guess the band could solve all those questions on its own, but I think it's actually makes it more interesting to have these different musical perspectives. So clearly with Richie, because he does come from this choral background, his father was a choir director, and he does think in terms of these multi-part vocal harmonies and kind of like elaborate arrangements, and it's easy for him to render things. With Sea of Love, the chorus did not come easily, and so Richie, he sang, he was really inspired by Sea of Love and the music and was enjoying it, and he had ideas, so we just kind of like set up a bunch of mics, and literally half an hour later there's that vocal arrangement. It's literally that quick with him, but it definitely has a big effect on the song. I promised my wife that I would put harmonica on at least one song. She obsessively listens to the demos that I write, because we listen to them sometimes after I write them, just like in the car, in the house, or they're just on, or she hears me making them. And so sometimes, so like, she'll have creative ideas, and she's a nurse, so it's not like she's coming from a musical standpoint either. But I kind of thought that was interesting, because I think it was the first time that she had suggested something, and so I kind of thought it would be worth a try. It actually just plays like this supportive role to announce the chorus, and it kind of fit. But weirdly, Matt didn't know it was there until like much later when the album was done, because he, why don't you explain, Matt? Your ears were a little bit destroyed.
When this was being recorded and mixed and put together, I had to fly home to Cincinnati because my grandmother died, and I had a terrible cold in the plane, my eardrum ruptured. And so I got back to the studio without being able to hear anything on one side of my head. And I think you guys panned it on over to that side on purpose so that I'd miss it. We'd try to trick each other. And so I think you guys were worried that if I knew there was a harmonica, I would look for it and try to get it out of there for some reason. And you might be right. I don't know. I don't have anything specifically personal against a harmonica, but that is something I would do, you know, for no good reason, just take offense at a harmonica. The more we write together and the more we do this together, we start to lose a lot of insecurities about things. We used to think, like, does it seem like it's the National? Is like, before we even knew what the National was, we were always trying to, like, sort of, oh, that just doesn't seem like us. Thankfully, we stopped trying to define, you know, what is us, or because none of us could agree anyway. And that's let us do things that maybe if one person was in charge, we wouldn't do a lot of the things that we've done. And so, yeah, now we know just to chase it all, and you never know where it's gonna connect.
And now, here's Sea of Love by The National in its entirety.
Listening to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. The episode of Song Exploder we just heard was produced and hosted by my guest, Hrishikesh Hirway. He spoke with me by phone from his studio in LA earlier this week, and I got the chance to ask him a few questions about how Song Exploder is made. So, Hrishikesh, tell me about your inspiration to create Song Exploder.
There were a couple things. I'm a musician by trade, or that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years. And when you're making music, and especially the way that I do it, which is I record everything at home, and I kind of write and record at the same time, I would spend hours and hours on, you know, trying to get this perfect sound or find some kind of solution to make, you know, my drums sound the right way. And I'd come up with some crazy way to fix the problem and get it just right and then finish the song. And all those hours I realized were in some ways meaningless to other people. They might never hear the difference between what I had done and what I hadn't done. And Also, as part of my band, I was doing remixes for other bands and other artists. And from that perspective, I would have a sort of different experience where they would send me their stems. They would send me like the track broken down so that I could, you know, manipulate it and change it and make my remix. And I would know what the song sounded like before I got the track. And then I would sit down and try and work on my remix, and I would hear, you know, these parts isolated as I was sort of trying to figure out what I was going to do. And a lot of times I would notice there was so many like beautiful moments or really cool things that I had never been able to fully appreciate, even with a song that I loved, just by hearing the final product. And getting to look at the song that way and hear it that way completely changed my appreciation and deepened my love for a song that I already liked. And I just thought that there was a show in there, that other people should have the chance to hear a song that way. And musicians, you know, would appreciate being able to talk about some of the stuff that went into making a song, a lot of the stuff that normally just remains secret to listeners.
So you've been producing Song Exploder for over a year now, and I'm curious if you've come across any little learning lessons that have surprised you.
Every single time there's something that I learn. It's really, selfishly, a really fun project for me because I get to sort of live in somebody else's world. And, you know, there's stuff that the podcast listeners don't get to hear. You know, there's, for every episode, which is about, you know, 13, 14 minutes long, including a song, you know, including a 3 or 4 minute long song, there's like about 10 minutes of interview. I've cut that down from like a 90 minute conversation. And I'm trying to get the best stuff for the episode, but I also am just asking stuff for my own sake that I'm like, oh, and that's really what the show came out of, was me being like, what is that sound? How did you make that? You know, just for my own selfish learning, I want to know, how do you do that? And I think that a lot of people who make music, whatever the level they're at, might hear something and be like, I want to know what that is. So it's been great. I've gotten to go into people's studios, see what their setups are like, in terms of hardware and software, and also just, you know, they're kind of, there's some level of just songwriting instruction and like songwriting philosophy that has been great, hearing about people's approach to how much of a perfectionist they should be or not be, and where they get their inspiration. It's really easy to be locked in your own assumptions and the way that you see how to make art. And one of the things that I really appreciate about making this show is it gives me a chance a couple times a month to completely change that perspective.
You're listening to The Spot on KALW. I'm speaking with Hrishikesh Hirway, creator and host of the podcast Song Exploder. So Hrishikesh, I want to ask, what podcasts do you listen to regularly?
The ones that I listen to regularly are The Memory Palace, 99% Invisible, Reply All, Startup, Planet Money, and Doug Loves Movies. Those are the ones that end up being in the constant rotation. Also, The Business from KCRW about the movie industry.
And is there something, because I've never heard of The Business before, what's like an interesting point that kind of sucks you in and really, really intrigues you about that show?
I love how specific it is. It's hosted by Kim Masters, who's the editor of The Hollywood Reporter. And, you know, they spend a few minutes at the beginning talking about just sort of news of, it's sort of the intersection of what's happening in terms of movies. And I'm just I love movies and I love TV. I'm a huge consumer of movies and TV, and I'm close enough to it. I live in LA, and you know, I've worked on a few movies, that I find the discussion about the business side really interesting. So they talk about, like, you know, when studio heads get fired, or when there's a major, you know, shift and distribution or things like that. It seems kind of niche, but also in LA, it feels like a little bit like everybody's kind of invested in what goes on in the movie business. So I started hearing that on KCRW and then found out there's a podcast, and now that's how I listen to it.
For listeners who are tuned in right now and have an idea that they're ready to try to turn into a podcast, what would you tell them?
I think the first and biggest stumbling block, the biggest obstacle for most people is just flipping that switch from this is a potential idea to this is a thing that I made. Even if it's not good, even if it's not good the first time around, it's so much easier to take something that isn't great and make it better than to take something that doesn't exist and make it into something that does exist. That's the hardest part. And it's sort of just commitment. I think a lot of times people are scared that it might not be good or it might not be perfect. You know, that I'm sort of a perfectionist and I run into this a lot where I don't want to make something unless I know it's going to be amazing. And I think that that's dangerous and can really be crippling for what could be a great idea that sometimes you just need to work through it. So my advice would be just make your thing and see what happens then. Put it out into the world, because if it's just in your head, it might be great in your head, but it's not real.
Thank you, Hrishikesh, for joining us today on The Spot. You're going to be in San Francisco this weekend, taping a live episode of Song Exploder as part of the Noise Pop Music Festival. The taping is happening this Saturday at 1 p.m. in the Swedish American Hall on Market Street in San Francisco. You'll be interviewing the music act How to Dress Well. Can you tell us a bit about them?
How to Dress Well is this guy, Tom Krell, and he just makes beautiful, emotional R&B. It's really the best way I can put it. I mean, it has a lot of electronic elements to it, and he produces it and he sings on the songs as well.
If you listeners are interested in attending the show on Saturday, you'll need to RSVP at songexploder.noisepop.com. That's songexploder.noisepop.com. It's free to RSVP, but you'll still want to come early and plan on arriving a bit before the 1 p.m. start time, since seating is first come, first served. Again, that's a live taping of the podcast Song Exploder, hosted by my guest, Hrishikesh Hirway. He'll be interviewing How to Dress Well this Saturday, 1 p.m. at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco. I have a link up now at kalw.org to RSVP. Thank you again, Hrishikesh, for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
If you can't make it to Saturday's live taping of Song Exploder, you can listen to the podcast by visiting songexploder.net. Also, you'll find new episodes of the show twice a month in iTunes. Just search for Song Exploder. Stand up straight. That's it for today's episode of The Spot. You can find this episode and more at kalw.org. Look at the homepage for the little blue letters that spell out The Spot. There, you'll also find more info about Song Exploder and the band featured on today's program, The National. And tell me what you want to hear on The Spot. If you have a suggestion for a podcast we should feature, please drop me a line at thespot@kalw.org. Tune in next Thursday, same time, for a whole new episode of The Spot, only on KALW San Francisco.